Good morning and welcome to church. A especially warm welcome to any visitors or those who haven't been here for a wee while. Please take the time to extend the fellowship and have a chat over tea and coffee. There have been announcements on the screen behind me and you would have been able to read them on the intimations, but I do have one other intimation. And I'm sorry to say that Chris, our youth worker, will soon be leaving us. He's moving on. He's going to be taking up a job with Scripture Union in the area, so I suspect that we'll still be seeing him a fair chunk of the time. But from August, Chris will be moving on. Next Sunday, as you know, will be the prize-giving service for the Sunday Club, and we'll be having an opportunity to thank him properly then. But Chris has already let the youngsters know, and I think it's only fair that everybody else knows as well. We, of course, wish Chris every blessing in this next adventure in his youth ministry. Thank you for your time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Graham has already welcomed you, but I want to welcome you again very specially. All those who are worshiping with us this morning, those who are doing so for the first time or doing so after a long while. And you have all the intimations on the order of service that is in your hands. I'm a bit low in spirits this morning because yesterday morning I lost one of my best friends in the secondary school. He was library prefect, assistant library prefect, and I was assistant religious prefect during our secondary school days. He was a lecturer in one of our universities in Cameroon. He had cancer and passed on to glory yesterday morning in Yaoundé. I know that Dr. Mayor Innocent is in Cameroon, but I'm thinking about him here in Scotland. Can I ask the congregation to stand, please, for a moment of silence in honor of my friend? Dear God, our Father, we thank you for life, for love, for family, for friendship. And we thank you for the life of Dr. Mayor Innocent Etia. We thank you for his life, and we thank you even for this time. You have called him out of the darkness of this world into your marvelous light. We pray, O God, that you will keep him and all others departed by your side until that day when we meet to part no more. May his soul rest in peace. Amen. Please be seated. And I'll ask you again to stand and let's worship God. Our first hymn, 124, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let us pray. Loving God, you call us to follow where you lead, to go out with open hands and willing hearts, to carry your peace into a world that is anxious and hurting. We thank you that you send us not alone, but with one another, in pairs, in community, as part of your church. We praise you for your wisdom, for sending the 72 with no bag, no purse, just trust in your care and your calling. Help us to learn from their faith, to depend less on what we carry and more on who we follow. But Lord, we confess that we often pack our fears before our faith. We hesitate to speak your peace. We get distracted, discouraged, or simply stay home when you send us out. Forgive us for the times we have ignored your call, for the peace we have failed to share, and the kindness we have withheld from others. Forgive us when we have tried to do things our own way, when we have clung to comfort instead of stepping out in faith. Cleanse us with your mercy. Fill us again with your Spirit, and send us even now to be people who bring healing, hope, and peace in your name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 189, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Good morning, children. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Good.
When do you break from school? In 2 weeks? In 3 weeks? How many weeks? 2, 3, 4? 1 week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? You don't even know. Are you looking forward to that? You are looking forward to that. Probably have plans, right? Do you have plans?
Yeah.
What plans do you have? Stay thinking. You are going somewhere nice?
I don't know what the ones are called. Close to the sea.
Close to the sea? Are you going to some beaches?
I'm right next to the sea.
You are right next to the sea.
Yeah.
Lucky you. Let us begin this morning again with some questions. Have you ever been sent on a mission by dad or mom? Yeah? Okay. Do you remember what kind of mission? To put your socks on. Oh, what a mission. Okay, let me give you some examples. For example, have you been sent by dad to go upstairs and get their glasses? Or maybe take a letter to the neighbor. Yeah? That sounds familiar. Now, can you remember other missions you've been sent to carry out? Yes? My phone from my office. That's correct. Yes?
To get milk from the shops.
To get milk from the shops. Okay. Okay, let me stick with the first example I gave. For example, if you were asked to do something, have you ever forgotten halfway through where you were going or why you were going? You have. What's happening? Where am I going to? Okay, now I decided to send you on a mission. I want you to raise your hand. If you will take your phone, you will take snacks, you will take clothes, and probably a collection of your Legos, just in case. Raise your hand if you will take all that, those things. If I sent you on a mission, maybe to go somewhere, would you take your phone, clothes, your Lego collection? Would you? No. You will not take anything. Are you sure? If you were driving to England with your family, and I said, okay, go do something for me in England, and you really wanted to go if you could, would you take anything with you? I think you would, wouldn't you? Phone, if you have one. You take clothes to change. You take snacks. What are you going to eat if you don't? Now, in the Bible, Jesus sends out 72 people to go out and talk about the gospel, to talk about God, to talk peace, heal people. And do you know what he asks them to take? Can you guess? Can you guess? Nothing. That's a good guess. He tells them, take nothing. No snacks, no clothes, no phones, nothing. It's like saying, I want to send you to St. Andrews for a night's sleep. Take nothing. That's strange, isn't it? But Jesus Christ was giving a message. He knows that we need the things that we use. We need to eat, we need clothes, we probably need our phones, because if we get missing somewhere, we will need to call somebody to say, oh, I'm here, I don't know where I am. We need all those things. But Jesus wants to teach us something about trusting him. That even without all those things, we can trust him. That he holds us and that he is with us and that he is protecting us from any danger or any harm. And even though we need all these things, there are times when we need to keep them aside just for the sake of doing the things that he has called us to do. So what are some of the things that you will need to avoid because you want to serve God? Or give up. Can you remember? There are some very easy answers to this. What are you missing by coming to church? Can you remember anything you are missing by coming to church in the morning, on Sunday mornings? What are you missing? Gilead, yes? That's a very good answer. You are missing the time to play. You should have been playing maybe in the garden now. Or playing football. Gilead sometimes misses church to play football. But if you decide to miss football to come to church, then it means that you are giving up something because you want to come to church to learn about God. And if we do that, God says we can trust him to help us to accomplish many other things in our lives. So it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy. We have to give up some of the pleasures, some of the things that we like. And God, Jesus says that he will bless us if we do that. So let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, you call us to follow you, but you also call us to disciple others. We thank you for the Great Commission, which comes not only to us adults, but also to our children. And we pray that you will use them wherever they are to speak about you and to help others to come follow you. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next theme, Jesus' love is very wonderful. Junior Praise 139. Nice song, isn't it?
If you want to follow along with this morning's readings, the first one can be found on page 77 of the Pew Bibles, reading from Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 8. Exodus 19, 3 to 8. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then all of the nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be mine for a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the peoples and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The second reading can be found on page 1041 of the Pew Bibles. It is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near." Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. We will continue worship by singing Mission Page 1000, King of Kings, Majesty.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-living God, you who speak in the silence and in the storm, send now your Spirit to open our hearts and still our distractions. As we hear your word, may it not be to us like words on a page, but like bread to the hungry, like light for those in darkness, like water for a weary land. Lord, we are tired, anxious, and at times uncertain, but we are listening. Speak to us as you did on Sinai. Send us as you did the 72, and shape us to be bearers of peace, healing, and hope in this land and wherever you place our feet. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever tried going on holiday without a suitcase? No toiletries, no change of clothes, no phone charger, no snacks for the train. For most of us in Scotland today, even a weekend trip to St. Andrews would demand a rucksack and a checklist. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out 72 disciples on a mission with no baggage, literally. No purse, no bag, no sandals, no plan B. He tells them, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. An inspiring way to launch a ministry. And then this, eat whatever is set before you. Now, depending on where you have been, that instruction alone might be your greatest trial in the whole passage. I remember once visiting a church member's home deep in the southwest region of Cameroon when I was still an assistant minister. It had been a long day of travel, and they received me with the warm hospitality we are known for, big smiles, an eager handshake, and that beloved Cameroonian phrase, Reverend, you must chop before you go, meaning, Reverend, you must eat something before you go. So they brought out a steaming dish with great pride, covered it carefully, and placed it before me. When they lifted the lid, there were giant snails, glistening in a rich pepper sauce and smiling at me as if they knew I was not ready. Now, some of you may love snails and see them as a delicacy, but for me, at that moment, let's just say it was a spiritual test. I blinked, I prayed, and I remembered Jesus' words to the 72, eat what is set before you. So I reached out for the fork with all the faith I could muster. It was not just about the food. It was about honoring the hands that had prepared it with love and with sacrifice. Dear friends, beneath the surface of that moment was a truth far deeper than any meal. It was about mission stripped of control, about discipleship built on trust, and about the gospel lived through humility. Sometimes, following Jesus means being the guest, not the host. It means receiving, not just giving. It means letting go of pride and opening your heart, even when what is said before you stretches your comfort. So yes, sometimes discipleship tastes like snails, but every bite is grace when it is shared in love. This is not a journey for the self-sufficient. It is a journey for those willing to be changed as they bring change. And so discipleship is not always bold declarations or grand crusades. It is often quiet, humbling, and deeply human. It is found not in power, but in presence. And it is precisely this kind of discipleship, this slow, vulnerable witness that speaks most clearly into the world we now live in. Because if we are honest, the land we walk through today, whether Newport on Tay, Edinburgh, or Inverness, It's not unlike the dusty roads Jesus sent his followers into. It is a tired land, a land of deep questions, quiet fears, and souls in search of peace. And so we turn now to what this gospel might mean here in a tired and Each time I visit someone in our congregation here in Newport, I walk away with a renewed sense of wonder at the depth of their lives, the quiet faith they have nurtured over the years, and the surprising ways God has worked through them. Just last week, I visited one of our oldest members. He is in his 90s and sharp as a tack. When I arrived, he was just finishing something in his garage and trying to lock it up. I gave him a hand with the door, and we ended up standing outside for a little while, chatting in the fresh air. The sun was low in the sky, casting a soft light over the village, and I asked him how he was keeping. With a faint grin and a twinkle in his eye, he said, "Well, if you have had two pacemakers for more than 30 years, and you are still walking, talking, and reading the Courier, then you can't really complain, can you?" As we progressed in our discussions, our conversation wandered across decades. He shared some of his stories from World War II, memories of serving in Germany, of cold nights and colder goodbyes, of hope carried in small acts of kindness. He talked about his work after the war, about helping others, and about the quiet satisfaction of knowing he had done what he could. Then he said something I wouldn't soon forget. "I have done my bit, and I am grateful. Now, I am just moving closer to where the children are, or maybe moving up there," he added with a soft chuckle, pointing towards the skies. "Either to another part of Scotland or heaven. We will see which one calls first." It was said with lightness, but not without weight. You see, friends, his story is not just one of personal resilience. It is one of faithful presence. He did not plant churches or write books or build programs, but his life has been a sermon, one of peace, quiet service, and deep trust in God's providence. And isn't that exactly what Jesus calls for in Luke chapter 10? He sends the disciples not with grand plans or theological statements, but with a simple mission: enter homes, receive hospitality, speak peace, heal the broken, and whisper hope: the kingdom of God has come. We live in a tired land, a land where many are anxious, overworked, isolated, and wondering whether faith still has anything to say. The Church of Scotland, like so many historic churches, often feels like it is treading water, fewer pews filled, more silence on Sunday mornings. And yet, perhaps this is the fertile ground where God is preparing to do a new thing, a quieter gospel, not shouted but shared, not one of platforms and perfection, but of presence and peace. A gospel that comes near through small kindnesses, faithful visits, and neighbors who still believe that love can change many things. It was the Scottish theologian John Bailey who once wrote, "We must be more than saved souls. We must be living witnesses to the God who saved us." This is the call. In this tired land, let us be living witnesses. Like my friend I met days ago, whose life quietly testifies that God has been faithful, like those disciples who went with no sandals, no script, just peace, healing, and hope in their hands. And as we reflect on Exodus 19, where God reminds Israel of how he carried them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself, we are reminded it is not our effort that sustains the mission. It is God's grace. He carries us still. So let us go lightly, faithfully, compassionately. Let us sit at more tables, speak more peace, and walk with courage into this new season of mission. The kingdom of God has come near. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, you call us and you give us a mission of discipleship in the world. We ask, O God, that you give us the courage that even in very small ways, we can be missionaries in our town or village, wherever we are. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, 153. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious and ever-living Father, you have given us so much, and what we bring back to you is only a portion of those many blessings. Take our gifts of money and use them for the service of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray for ourselves and let us pray for the world. God of all mercy and mission, you sent your people with no baggage but great purpose, and you carried Israel on eagle's wings to yourself. Carry us now, Lord, through all that is heavy in our hearts and heavy in this world. We pray for the world, for places torn by violence and vengeance, for the people of Gaza, Israel, Iran, and all lands where war rages and lives are lost. We cry out for children caught in the crossfire, for parents burying their dead, for families scattered and scared. Let peace come, real peace, your peace, not the peace of silence or defeat, but the peace that heals, the peace that dares to reconcile. We pray for world leaders, guide their hearts with wisdom, strip away pride and posturing, and stir in them a hunger for justice, not just for their people, but for all people. Let their decisions be shaped not by fear or profit, but by the deep call to protect life and promote peace. Lord Jesus, who sent disciples into a tired land with just peace and healing in their hands, send us to this tired village, this weary church, this anxious age. Teach us to go lightly without pride, without pretense. Teach us to love deeply across pews, fences, and nations. Teach us to receive whatever is set before us, a cup of tea, a story, even a snail on a plate, and see in it the grace you give. We pray for all who are struggling today, those facing illness, waiting on test results, and recovering from surgery, those whose minds are heavy with anxiety, whose homes are filled with silence after loss, whose faith feels thin as threat. We hold before you those in our own congregation who are sick or frail, as we give thanks for those who care quietly, faithfully, without fanfare. God of comfort, we also remember those who have passed into glory, those we loved and still miss, and those who mourn today. May they know your nearness, your holding presence, and the sure hope of resurrection. We pray for this beautiful church, Newport on Tay, for our elders and leaders, our tea makers, storytellers and story listeners, historians, our doubters and dreamers. Make us living witnesses, not always polished, but always present. Let the gospel be seen not just in our words, but in how we show up, sit down, and serve with love. Carry us, O God, through this season, through this calling, through joy and weariness, and may we walk always in the light of Christ, who went ahead of us and who still says, "The kingdom of God has come near." All this we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, a final hymn 352.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.